Jesus save.
Mormon Mental Health is a production of Mormon Stories Podcast and the Open Stories Foundation. All donations go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards supporting its listeners. To support the podcast, please consider a donation today at mormonmentalhealth.org. And thanks for listening.
Jordan Compass came from the...
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mormon Mental Health. This is Natasha Helfer Parker. And with me today, I have Ryan Freeman and Drew Botcherby. They are both students at BYU and share some common history. They both come from Springville, Utah, and I think attended the same singles ward for a while. They're both returned missionaries. Ryan is an English major at BYU, and Drew is an advertising major there as well. And I'm excited to have you here to specifically talk about this website I came across called Sick RMs. In other words, dealing with issues around missionary health. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so glad to have you both here. So I don't really care who starts, but Ryan and Drew, if you could give me a little bit of a better introduction of yourselves and tell us who you are and kind of where you come from and how you come to be a Mormon, etc.
Go ahead, Ryan. This is Drew, by the way.
Okay, I was going to have you go first, but I'm willing to do that. So,
young men.
Well, when we have disagreements, then might not. But yeah. So I have been a Mormon my whole life, and I come from a big family and a very religious family, and I love them. They're great. And so, I mean, coming into, I guess, my story and my interaction with missions, it was something that I definitely had been raised to expect, and something that I was knew that I was going to be doing. And so I didn't really give it a whole bunch of thought. It was just something that we did in my family. And I think that's pretty common as a culture, that when you come from Utah County, that it's just this expectation. But I also did definitely believe in the church and its teachings, and I was grateful for it in my life. And so it wasn't something that I was really like dreading or anything like that, because I did want to share this message and this gospel with other people. And so that's kind of the, I guess, the good background going into the mission there.
Great. And where did you end up going, Ryan?
I was called to St. Louis, Missouri, which stateside, that always, I don't know, that has some stigma, I guess, with it. And it did for me when I opened that call, which is bad, and I shouldn't have felt that way. But I had two older brothers. They both served in Europe and had these great experiences. And I kind of thought that I would be going somewhere foreign. And so I got that call, and it was kind of three states away from Utah. And that was a little disappointing, but I was still really excited.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that's definitely something that is hard to know how to talk about, because these feelings are there. And like you say, then we feel ashamed of those feelings. And, but they're there, right? That's sometimes what happens.
Yeah.
But that means you served in my neck of the woods. I mean, I'm in Kansas, so that's Missouri's not too far away. Okay, so Drew, tell us about your background a bit.
Yeah, kind of the same story as Ryan. Although I'm the oldest in my family, but my family's all LDS, so it was definitely an expectation, something we talked about. I didn't give it too much thought either until, you know, the week before I go into the MTC, and I'm like, oh no, this is scary. but had a good experience in the MTC, and for most of my mission as well, I served in Brazil. So yeah, it was always just something I thought I would do. It was exciting, both spiritually and just culturally, and I was just excited to do it.
Okay, and I'll just mention that you're both on BYU campus. So if we hear a little bit of background noise, that's just because you're in a busy place. okay, did you know each other since you're both from the same area? Did you know each other prior to meeting in your singles ward?
Yeah, we both knew each other from high school. We didn't really hang out in the same circles, but I think we knew each other and we had similar classes. We were both kind of nerdy, I think. Maybe Ryan would disagree with that.
No, I agree.
Okay, good. All right. Well, so tell me a little bit about this website that I ran into, and it's called SickRMs, an open discussion about missionary health issues. So tell me a little bit about the website itself and maybe what led to the development of this idea to begin with.
Okay. Well, the idea for it kind of started during sacrament meeting or elders quorum at our singles ward in Springville, where we were talking kind of about our different experiences. Ryan, who he came home early from his mission for health issues, and it was not too much, it wasn't too long after that. And me, who I'd had a different experience where I had just had health issues from my mission, even though I served 2 years that were still lingering and still causing me problems. And I was trying to grapple with that because I hadn't received service on my mission, and just trying to figure out why that had happened to me, why I hadn't been blessed with health on my mission. And Ryan, kind of going through a similar but different process. So we had different experiences, but they were both tied to health. And we realized that there were a lot of people we knew who had similar experiences. The more people we talked to, the more people shared theirs with us. But we realized we'd never seen anything like that until we started talking about it. So we wanted to make a place where people could talk about it and where we could hear from other people, I think, as well. I definitely wanted to know that I wasn't the only person. And I wanted to hear if there were other people who really had similar experiences outside of our singles ward.
Yeah, that was really important to me as well. When I came back, I think I realized that the people who were the most outgoing and most able to help me, those people had either come home early or they'd known someone really close to them who'd come home early. So for example, I had a member of my ward who used to be a bishop. He told me that he had come home early. It's not something I knew. I don't think it's something that he really liked telling people. And I think it is uncomfortable for a lot of people to share that. But as soon as I got back, he came over with cookies or whatever and just shared a little bit about his story. And that was so healing for me. And to realize that he was willing to do that for me and then to kind of try to give back and also just have that conversation so that I could process through my experience. It really is vital to share your story and to hear other people's stories.
So is this something that, you know, I myself did not go on a mission. So is this something that's difficult to find open dialogue about? Is there seemingly like a discomfort about talking about health? And we can get into whether that means, you know, obviously physical health, mental health, that's a big umbrella, right? So
it is, yeah.
Is there a stigma around talking about these issues to begin with?
Yeah, there. When I came home, I didn't see any resources, really. I felt very alone. And I think there is that stigma. It's obviously not a new issue. This has been happening since, I'm sure, the earliest missions. But the dialogue is relatively new, and we're still trying to work through how we can be sensitive about this and how we can help people recover from, because it is a traumatic experience. And so how do you deal with that and how do you recover from that? So the stigma is there because you feel a little bit less than when you return home early, or even when you just have problems out in your mission and you're able to do the full mission, you're still going to have questions of, like Drew was saying, why wasn't I blessed with good health? What did I do that maybe made it so that I didn't have those blessings? And yeah, that's not a conversation that I saw happening, really. I mean, it's something that I always had in my head, but I didn't have a good way to share that with other people.
Okay, well, so I'm guessing that there's three different ways issues could come up. Obviously, you may have health issues prior to leaving on your mission. In fact, I know several people who've not been able to even go on a mission due to health issues. And I think that's especially taxing when it's mental health that keeps you from attending a mission. Well, I don't know that I want to completely say that, but there seems to be some more stigma around mental health than physical health issues. Then there's, of course, issues that may come up on your mission. So you go out in good health, and then there's something that develops during the mission. And then you're having to deal with that. And then there might be repercussions after a mission as well. You may come home feeling or seemingly healthy, but then there might be repercussions that either you're not aware of or that carry forward. I know like a lot of, I've heard of a lot of gastrointestinal issues. I know some of my brothers had those issues as well, going to South America, issues that kind of stayed with them for years. So is that a good way to kind of organize the different issues that might come up, or am I missing some of that?
I think that's definitely it. I mean, there we hear stories from before the mission, on the mission, and after, and sometimes all three, both mental and physical. So I think that's definitely why we kept the focus of the site open rather than focusing on just physical or just mental or just any specific type, because we've got stories from all sorts of situations like that. So I think that's fair, yeah.
Okay. Are you both comfortable giving us a little bit more details of exactly what it was that happened to you specifically?
Sure. This is Drew again. Like I said, it happened to me while I was on my mission. I left pretty healthy and normal, healthy 19-year-old boy. But over the course of my mission, I started getting back problems. And about a year and a half through, it got so bad that I had to spend about a month in our apartment. We would only leave for lunch or a couple hours, and then the pain was too bad and I had to go home. And at that point, I wasn't receiving medical treatment. I wasn't allowed to go to a doctor by my mission president, who he believed that just fasting or prayer was help or would help most, or that I was being lazy, stuff like that. Instead of seeking out proper medical attention, which when I got home back in the States, they said if you would have, they say like nip this in the butt earlier, it wouldn't be such a problem. So I felt like there was kind of a misunderstanding, and it wasn't really a priority, missionaries' physical health. And I know that varies from mission to mission, definitely. But part of that is the problem as well, that there wasn't a like set uniform way of addressing health when you're on a mission. It's kind of just up to the mission president to determine whether a missionary needs health treatment, which is sad because those poor mission presidents, they don't have any medical training, most of them anyway, and they're suddenly in charge, them or their wife, of 200 kids who... all day and I'm going to have these problems. So that was a problem that I saw. And that's kind of when I got home and I was spending all this money on doctor's bills and I couldn't go out and play soccer with my brothers. I couldn't do anything physical because I was still recuperating. That kind of bothered me a lot. I felt like I had trusted my mission president and my leaders to kind of take care of me. And the opposite had happened. And it just, it made like kind of a, it was a very stressful time for me. I didn't really figure out why I hadn't been taken care of in a way. And I accept full responsibility for not being more forward and not being more aggressive in asking for health treatment like that. But as people who have served missions know, it's kind of, you don't want to be seen as the whiny one, you know, the guy who has all these health issues all the time. So it was really hard for me then.
Yeah, especially when you're kind of like in an institutional type of environment. I mean, I'm not sure that that's exactly fair for you even to be taking complete responsibility over that. I mean, you're in a very structured, my understanding of missions is that they're very structured. There's very direct kind of idea of how you should be spending your day. Even your kind of days off are pretty structured, is my understanding. So I'm not sure that that's completely falls upon your shoulders. But so are you both telling me that there's really no yearly or biannual kind of health checkup or anything like that that's just kind of part of missionary kind of structure?
At least for my mission, there wasn't anything set up like that, and I've never heard of any similar process in place.
Yeah, I think we would have heard of something like that. I mean, we've even talked to area medical doctors, and they haven't mentioned any programs like that. So, I mean, if there is, it's very selective, and it's not happening in the majority of cases.
Okay. Well, and this brings up an issue, too, from a mental health perspective of those who might be needing talk therapy sessions. I know that I've provided some of that for missionaries in my areas, you know, where I've lived, both in Wisconsin and Kansas. But, that's kind of tough to fit in a talk therapy type schedule with missionary work, I would assume, even though I'm guessing many probably need that as part of their treatment protocol.
Yeah, we think so. And I think Drew's bringing up that one of the purposes of our site, like we talked about, is to remove stigma for mental or physical health issues on a mission. But then also we are hoping to further the conversation on how can we better treat, how can we better prevent. And so a lot of what we're looking at too is what gaps are there in the system and how can we better address those.
Okay. Ryan, are you comfortable sharing some of what you were dealing with from a medical perspective?
Yeah, definitely. So before my mission, this is one of those pre-existing cases. Before my mission, I had a lot of headaches, and it was a really common occurrence. And so I had gone to medical, mostly like a sinus doctor, and he, you know, was very open that, yeah, you do have problems and we could look at surgery or things like that, which we decided against. But so that was one issue, was just these headaches. And then another was I definitely had anxiety going into my mission. I didn't know what to expect. And so that was part of the reason. But I also felt, you know, I was giving up, you know, friends and family. And that was just a really stressful process for me. I am more of an introvert. And so I like reading. I like, you know, having time to unwind and listen to music. And I knew those were things that weren't going to be as accessible on the mission. So that was a source of stress. But, you know, I had my call and I didn't want to reevaluate really. And so I jumped in, and the MTC was mostly, there weren't big problems there. I did visit the doctor once about the headaches, but I actually felt like the structure there was good for me, and I didn't really have tons of anxiety issues. I mean, I did feel like the time sometimes passed by really slowly, but I was doing pretty well. And it wasn't really until I got out to St. Louis, Missouri, that I really started to struggle. And part of that, I think, was losing that support of missionary friends at the MTC. So I had one companion, and I didn't, you know, you can write home once a week. And, you know, I was lucky enough to arrive in Missouri during the winter, which is not the best time of year there. And so it was very cold, very wet. And I think seasonally I have issues with the winter, and so that was difficult. And so I started to get these headaches, but then I also realized I had some real anxiety issues, and I was kind of hesitant to share that with people. I felt a little bit of shame about that, but I talked to my mission president, and he talked to the doctor of our mission, and the doctor sent me a survey to kind of evaluate how you are doing mentally. And so I answered the survey, and to be honest, I wasn't really forthcoming with some of my responses because I didn't want to have issues that, you know, I didn't want to get sent home or something like that. And so some of the questions, you know, they would ask you to rate, you know, I don't know how, just if you've had these thoughts or if you're having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, things like that, that you would evaluate. And I filled it out, but like I said, I may have tried to discount the severity of things in some categories. And I filled it out, sent it to the doctor, And he informed me that I definitely had serious anxiety. And that was with me.
And with you downplaying it.
With downplaying it, mm-hmm. yeah. And so he recommended going on medications for that. And so we tried that out. But it was it's a slow process. I mean, it's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of, and it's difficult because those phone calls don't really fit into the missionary schedule a lot of times. And so,
and who helped you with that? Was that the mission president's wife, or the mission president himself, or
right? And so sometimes you felt like you needed to go through the wife before you went to the doctor, because he was actually in charge of a few missions and he was a very busy guy. And so they kind of filter what gets up to the doctor. So it was a lot of calling this person, who would call this person, who would call me, and then I would. It was a lot of back and forth. And it was a slow process. And so I did get medications, and I didn't feel like I was, I think I didn't feel like they were working very well. And I also just wanted someone to talk to. I wanted to go physically visit a doctor, and I was kind of advised against doing that, like Drew. And I don't think that's the norm, but that is definitely something that can happen, and it happened to both me and Drew. Anyway, I was definitely, so anxiety was there, but even below that surface was this bed of depression, and that was something that was definitely new to me. I never considered that a problem through high school, but it was manifesting itself, and I know that's kind of common for that to be kind of a time to the 19 to 20 year old when mental health issues can kind of surface. And that is something that we have a history of in my family, of anxiety and depression. And so it makes sense that it happened, but I also felt very insufficient, that I was, you know, doing something wrong as a missionary. And if I could just try harder, then these issues would go away, and I would, you know, if I could lose myself in the work, then I would be happy. And I couldn't really come to a resolution with these things. It was messy.
No, you bring up some really great points, because that is true that for adult onset mental health issues, there does tend to be a start for that for a lot of people from the ages of 18 to 23, let's say, and that's oftentimes when people are leaving home for the first time. They're either going to college, or they're joining the military, or they're, you know, in our culture, going on a mission. And so that's the time when a lot of these things can kind of come to fruition. And then you're away from kind of what you know, right? Your safety net, kind of your home environment, what, you know, your coping mechanisms that you mentioned, or one of you mentioned.
Right.
You know, listening to music or going on a run or whatever it is. And now you're not necessarily able to rely on those like you did prior. So that's kind of a meeting of a lot of different issues kind of coming to a head at one time.
Yeah, I think so. I knew how to deal with stress when I was at home, and I had those outlets, but those were all gone on a mission. You just can't do those types of things, whether it's, you know, listening to music or just having a conversation with a close friend or taking a nap even. That's just not something that you can do.
So, I mean, I'm imagining a lot of these issues are pretty common, especially the ones around anxiety and depression. I don't know how common it is to have physical ailments on a mission as well, but we also know that psychological issues can lead to physical issues and vice versa. So they're kind of interrelated anyway. How much of a discussion of this type of stuff is happening on a mission? Are you able to talk to your companions about these kinds of things, or is it kind of more important to keep up a facade of sorts of, you know, everything's fine and not wanting to cause anxiety or worry, or wanting to, you know, in essence, keep a good face forward?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of roulette with that, where it, I'm sure, just a lot of times depends on the companion and depends on the mission president and the zone leaders. that's not something that I felt comfortable doing. I had a very religious relationship with my companion, which makes sense because that's what you're doing. But when it went past the subject of, you know, what was Nephi thinking in this scripture, it started to fall under the umbrella of things we don't talk about. And I don't know. I think that was we had different personalities, and it wasn't something that we could talk about. I will say though that there has been some changes to the manuals that missionaries have. And so I know there's more emphasis on doing these evaluations and doing them together. And so I think we're kind of in a disadvantage where we returned from our missions, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And so we haven't seen some of how these new resources are playing out, but there is more direction given for these mental health issues. But I think the resources are still pretty, pretty scarce.
Okay. Well, I know I'm speaking to both of you, so just pipe in if the other one wants to answer in a different way. But, so what was it was Ryan, correct, that got sent home early due to some of these issues that were medically significant? Is that correct?
Yeah, so I tried to wait it out, and I eventually just had a conversation with my mission president, and he essentially said, you need to go home and figure this out. And he was very gentle, very kind guy. I mean, he was wonderful. I have only the best of feelings for my mission president. But yeah, it was just given the situation, we decided that I really needed to go home, try to resolve what was going on, and then I could eventually return.
And did you return?
I didn't. No, I definitely tried, and I definitely felt the pressure, but it wasn't something that I was, in the end, comfortable doing.
Okay. So you had a very, like you said, loving, gentle approach from this man who was helping you come to the best decision. But it still seems like, even though you had that very loving approach, that you dealt with a lot of maybe inner shame or sadness about not being able to finish in the way that maybe you had expected. Can you speak to where you think that comes from? Maybe how did your family respond? A lot of times it's not even about the response we get, it's just how internalized we make some of our own messages for ourselves. So can you just speak of that process?
Yeah. So I agree that sometimes perception is reality. And so if I, you know, whether or not people are really spreading these rumors or questioning my faith, that's definitely what I felt like was happening. And there are definitely circumstances where it did happen. And I think part of the reason that these feelings of shame happen is, for example, on my mission, I would have other missionaries ask me how my testimony of the atonement was, or if I had faith in my priesthood blessings that I was getting. And so that really starts to erode your sense of self, and you start to wonder if maybe they're right and you're just lacking faith. And so that's one issue.
In other words, when you would bring up concerns or when you would bring up these issues that you were having, that's the response you would get?
Not from everyone, but from quite a few, especially just other missionaries who would question whether or not that was the real issue. And so that was that's very upsetting. And I think another part of the piece of the puzzle here is that we have this mentality that if you don't go on a mission or if you return home early, then you are letting Satan win. And that's something that I heard from missionaries as I was going home, that you need to come back out or you are letting Satan win. And so the longer you stay home, the more you feel like you're losing this battle. And that is, to me, like looking back at my experience, I'm not going to say that God gave me depression, but I felt him in that experience. And I know that God was there. And so to hear these allegations, I guess that the real thing that's going on is this influence of like Satan, I think was not useful, and I don't think that was accurate at all.
So in a sense, not enough flexibility to allow for more than one experience.
Right.
And when your experience didn't fit, then somehow there must be something wrong with you. You're the problem, instead of understanding a bigger perspective, which, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily expect that from 19 and 20 year olds.
Right.
If they haven't been educated as such, right? So I think you're talking to some cultural issues that then, you know, missionaries in the field kind of grew up also kind of feeling or hearing these things. And so that's what kind of comes out. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have this idea that if you go and do and try, then the Lord will provide a way. And that's something that we mention. And so if you're going and doing and it's not working, then it doesn't look like it's God's fault. And so we tend to put the blame on the individual.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I see that a lot. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what is your opinions about some of the either cultural, and we're kind of getting into this, but some of the cultural / doctrinal messaging that we have within Mormonism that can either be problematic or that can be really useful. So let's start with problematic so we can end on a positive. And I think that you're getting to some of this, right? So we can be rigid in our stances. We can throw out maybe simplistic answers. So, you know, like, have you prayed, or have you done this, or have you done that? Assuming that that's somehow going to fix systemic health issues, right? And not that prayer or any of those spiritual tools aren't helpful, but a lot of times they're not the answer to curing a specific issue. And then like the equational approach, I think that you both brought up, like, if you do A, B, and C, then you should be able to have D, right? So if you are praying and going on a mission, then you'll be healthy. I think, Drew, you're the one that mentioned, geez, you know, I thought I was going to be blessed and by doing what was right, right? That's the equational approach. And yet the equation doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. So can you speak to some of these kind of inner workings of Mormons that as to why we start having some of these negative cognitions when things don't go the way we expect?
You mean like on a personal level, or just like what effect does like the Mormon upbringing kind of have on how we react to this?
I think one thing that I would talk about is that there really is an encouraged filter with how we talk about these things. And so, for example, when you're on a mission, you're told to keep your letters to your family positive, to be upbeat. And I think overall that's that's not necessarily problematic, because there obviously are benefits to being optimistic and positive about things. But to just disregard the negative doesn't make sense. And so, you know, when those emails to our family or letters to friends or letters to mission presidents, we're told to be positive and to kind of just give the good faith-building message. And so I think there has been a hard, I think it's been difficult for us to find a way to maintain this positive outlook, but to also talk about these difficult issues and to be open and honest about them.
Definitely. And I think especially just that specific example of being able to be open with your parents, I think the more of a perspective missionaries can get from somebody outside of a mission, the more likely they are to seek help. Because when you're in the mission and your companion's telling you like, oh, it'll all be okay if you just keep working harder, and if your leaders are telling you the same thing, you start telling yourself that. I know for me, I didn't realize how serious of a situation I was in until I started kind of talking more to my parents about it. And they said, like, wow, like, you, how long has this been going on? Like, why haven't you got help yet? Like, what's going on? And you kind of need, like, a dash of reality from outside kind of the mission bubble to kind of help you realize maybe I should be talking about this more. Mm-hmm. It's okay to complain, to whine, because you're not complaining or whining if you're in serious pain, mental or physical. And the only way that it can get better is if you talk. And that's really not something you hear a lot on the mission. It's something people from outside the mission can tell you, but sometimes you don't always have a direct line to them.
Right. Now, that reminds me, one of the standing jokes in my family is that we had a missionary who would write home or say things, and his catchphrase was, whenever we'd ask, is, "It's all good." And then we started realizing that "it's all good" meant "it's all really bad." So even now, years later, whenever we're saying something, we're like, well, it's all good. We all know what that means. So that pressure to kind of put on a good face, right? I mean, you're representing the church. You're, you know, trying to represent the gospel message. You're trying to convince people, right, that we have something really positive to offer. And somehow, maybe if you're going through your own issues, that somehow seems like a threat to that. But at the same time, it kind of has the counterproductive effect, right? That when you don't talk, when you don't address issues that are happening, then really those issues can become more problematic, not only for yourself, but for the entire mission, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an emotion that's there to maintain this positive outlook on everything. And sometimes life is not necessarily this glowing, awesome experience, and we should be able to talk about it when it's not, and not feel judged for that. But I have said in the past that it's difficult to promote this gospel of happiness when you're miserable. And so that's hard on a mission, because you are told, you know, if you pass by cars, smile, wave, do these types of things that will make people see that happiness. And that's really hard when you don't feel it inside.
Then like some fake happiness to be really productive, right? Is that...
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Any other kind of cultural messaging or stigmas that you feel that are pretty common for missionaries or returned missionaries to be struggling with?
I'd say, and I didn't come home early, but I know I've seen from Ryan's experience and from my brother who came home early just last year, and a lot of other people I know, I mean, everybody knows somebody, is just the expectation that you get better and go out. And just having that expectation can make it a lot harder for somebody to get better. I know I talked to somebody who had a really good understanding bishop who said, you know, if you want to go out, that's great. But right now, mentally, just put it in your head that, like, that's not your priority. Your priority is getting better. And if when you're better, you want to go out, then we'll do that. But it's really hard to get better if you're expecting to go out and you're trying to make this, like, 3-month let's go out again deadline or something. So that expectation, both from family and from leaders, I think is really counterproductive in a lot of cases.
I really like that idea of allowing for space, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely something that I felt so much pressure to return. And had my bishop not been as understanding, I'm sure I would have returned, and I would have done it at a time when I really wasn't ready. And so that pressure can really work against someone's best interest.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's this, you know, this idea too, that, which is somewhat true. I mean, if you kind of lose yourself in the service of others, you'll feel better about yourself, especially when it comes to mental health issues. And so I know that, like, a lot of non-Mormon therapists, one of the things that they'll ask, for example, a depressed person is, well, hey, what volunteer experiences are you interested in, right? Or something along those lines. However, as a Mormon therapist, I'm usually asking, okay, what are the boundaries around your volunteering, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we're volunteer experts, right, in the church. And most of us have callings or, you know, a mission is like a, you know, a full 2-year sacrifice of your life, you know. And so I think sometimes there's this balancing act that we're not necessarily as Mormons great at knowing how to say, hey, it's okay to take time for myself, that that's not necessarily a selfish choice or a sinful choice, that it's okay to be aware of myself and my needs and my health in order to be able to serve in the long run.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I would be curious to know stories of Mormon missionaries who have gone to non-Mormon therapists during their missions to see what they said. You just got me thinking about that. I mean, what if you told a therapist that you were working 14 hours a day only with the same person, that you couldn't talk to your family and that you were experiencing depression or anxiety, what they would tell you to do? You know, I think...
Yeah, it's pretty counter to what most people would tell you to do.
Yeah.
As far as getting connected to your social network and, you know, having resources in your life and...
Yeah.
Not being exaggerated in your efforts, right? Things of that nature. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you're pointing to that was really vital for my recovery was to let grace enter the equation. And so I had this mentality of trying to save myself and trying to work so hard that all my problems went away. And that's just not really how life works. And so I know one of the things that was difficult for my recovery and that is a cultural idea is that you need to try everything you can do. And if you try your hardest and then come home early for, you know, mental health issues or physical health issues, then that's mostly acceptable. And that's a really hard thing to quantify, because looking back on my mission, there were definitely things where I felt, oh, I could have done more there, or I could have tried harder on this thing. And, you know, you just need to give people the benefit of the doubt and yourself the benefit of the doubt that most everyone is trying the best that they can. And you were trying the best that you could and you knew how, and there's always more you could do. I mean, there is. And so, but that doesn't mean that what you did wasn't good enough and wasn't redeeming enough. And that's where you let grace enter in. And that's something that I ended up getting from this experience that I wouldn't really trade for anything. And that has been really powerful for me, is just grace.
That's a lovely, lovely thought, because that is, again, one of the kind of Mormon-esque things, right? After all, you can do. So we do believe in grace, and there's some really good writings out there about grace. At the same time, as Mormons, I think we tend to quantify that or limit grace more so than other Christians. And there's pros and cons to that, right? Because we're actors, we're doers, right? We're bees in the beehive. So we get a lot of great work ethic from our Mormon culture. But at the same time, you're exactly right. If you're constantly measuring up against a measuring stick that even one little milli inch, you know, you could have done more, then you're always questioning yourself or doubting yourself or thinking that your effort and your sacrifice wasn't enough. Which is really unfortunate and can lead to depression and anxiety when you really look at yourself from that type of lens. So grace is such an important piece of healing and of really allowing yourself to turn yourself over to this idea that we say, you know, turn yourself over to God. It's kind of about exactly what you're talking about. All right. Any other thoughts about those kinds of things? What about positives? What types of Mormon-esque things do we have at our fingertips that can actually help in these situations?
This is Drew again. I think we definitely have a mentality and a culture of becoming stronger through our trials. I think that's in our history and kind of still what we teach now. And I feel like I definitely have learned a lot about forgiveness and about myself through having physical problems. I don't know if I've mentioned specifically, but they were back problems, and I spent most of my mission in about a year and a half after I got home, really struggling physically, which kind of affects you mentally and emotionally as well. I'm not saying I'm glad it happens, but I've definitely been able to use the gospel to at least recognize that it was a hard time for me and try to take the good from it and grow from it. And it's been really hard to forgive some of the people who I felt like didn't have the resources to help me when I was on my mission, you know, when I was in a lot of pain and I couldn't get anybody to even let me go to the doctor. It's been really hard to forgive those people. And I think it's taken me a couple of years to do it, but I don't think I would have been able to if I didn't have some of the good resources that I was hearing and the gospel in my life. So I feel like there's definitely a lot of stuff that needs improving on the mission and just understanding of health in our culture, but that there are a lot of things that help with the recovery process as well that I've been grateful for.
Yeah, thank you. Ryan, what would you say?
Yeah, I definitely felt that the message of love did come through my church years and sitting, you know, all those sometimes boring hours in a sacrament meeting. And that message of love really did come through, that if, you know, you love each other, try to love yourself and love God, then things will work themselves out. And to, you know, it's okay if you're misunderstood by those around you, that we can be different or strange, and doesn't mean that we're broken. If there is a personality difference or a difference in journey, that as long as we really let love affect us, then things are going to work out. So I agree that you know, love and forgiveness is something that we're taught and can really help this issue.
Yeah, I agree. Charity, forgiveness, strength, right? The eternal progression, right? Like, things are meant to help us progress, even our trials, you know, so those are all really good things that can help us reframe things in healthier ways.
Yeah, and I think another thing is, like, knowing that missions aren't necessary for salvation, that, you know, I don't know how useful it was, but people would bring up, you know, President Monson didn't serve a mission, and that, you know, the time was different and things are different. So it's not a perfect example, but it shows you that you don't have to have served a full 2-year mission to be a good Mormon. You can be a good Mormon outside of that experience.
Yeah, and that's not a message that comes through very often, isn't it? I mean, we really do have this pressurized system, especially, I think, for the young men in our church to have that expectation of serving a mission. And there's not a lot of room or discussion around whether or not a mission is really a good fit for that specific individual. And so I think that can really lead to a lot of sore feelings and expectations not being met. And even if the young person themselves kind of knows a mission's not a fit, then dealing with the tremendous disappointment and sadness that maybe family members would, you know, react with, it's complicated, right? I mean, it's not like we make a mission a choice where truly agency is really prioritized. I mean, it's obviously there. Nobody's forced to go on a mission, but I don't think agency is prioritized.
I'd agree with that. And I think there's an interesting discussion to be had about, with all the changes with the ages, with young women especially being able to serve earlier, whether more people are coming home nowadays. It certainly seems like it. It's really hard to get official numbers on that. But
yeah, I mean, I have a really good source, a church therapist who works high up, and it's definitely something that they've noticed, that there has been more early returns because of the age change. So there is research out there that shows that those people who, you know, maybe go through some schooling before their mission and don't have as much, like, feel as much need to get right out there, they perform better, they feel better about their missions, and they're less likely to return home early.
Well, and I have a totally unsupported theory too, that, especially this first batch of young people who were affected by the change of age, it wasn't in their timeline. And all of a sudden they were given an option that, albeit good for many people, it wasn't part of the plan, right? So you know, if you've got in your head, well, when I'm 21, I can decide whether or not that's good for me, and then all of a sudden tomorrow I can go. That's a big shift, and you may get excited and do it, but it's still something that you really have to adjust to that wasn't part of the original plan. So I think that I've noticed too, in my area, that there's a little bit more angst or depression just around some of that. And I don't know if that will even out as people kind of grow into those timelines, right? If you're 10 mm-hmm. right now, and you know that that opportunity is there for you when you're 19 as a female or 18 as a male, then you can plan for that for the next 8 to 9 years, right? So yeah. that may be part of what's happening as well in our current status.
Yeah.
Okay. So I notice on your website too, that you have a survey that you're kind of, I guess, asking people to fill out. So can you tell me a little bit about that and what your hopes are from the responses that you get?
Yeah, we actually have finished that survey. The tab's still up, but if you click on it, you can't actually take the survey any longer. So we've finished it, we've compiled it, and we had a lot of responses. And most of it was qualitative research where the questions are open-ended, and we were looking for a few sentences on how people felt about their mission president or their mission doctor, what things could have been better, what things were handled really well. And we were trying to get from that a model that could be used on, and you know, everyone is different and has different needs, but just what really worked well and what do we need to be cautious of. And so we compiled that, and we've been able to get that information up to definitely people who have a say in these kinds of things. I mean, I can't get too specific, but it's definitely made its rounds through some of, I think, more leadership levels, but not the highest, but enough of people that really do influence these things. And they've been really encouraging. They've said the information is useful. They've loved it. I mean, I know it's been referred to as like our magic book that that we give people, and it really kind of helps change their perspective on these things. And so that's been rewarding, and it's been something that we're really grateful to people who were willing to take that survey and share their experience with us, because I think it will help to just spread awareness and get that conversation going where it needs to go.
Yeah, that's really great. I don't know, too, if you've heard of Dr. Chris Doty over at Utah Valley University, but I know that she's interested or doing some research around early return missionaries, not necessarily just for health reasons, but just for any reason.
Yeah.
And doing some research on the effects of that. And again, with the purpose, I think, of how do we as a community better serve the needs of those that, you know, still have sacrificed, still have served, still have, you know, put themselves out there, and then oftentimes unfortunately come back with this kind of shaming feeling that, you know, that you're talking about, Ryan.
Yeah, she's done a really good job with her work, and I definitely think people should look into her name. And she has some Deseret News articles and just Salt Lake Tribune articles with her name and her research in it, and it's really good stuff. It's really useful to, especially I think, leaders and parents and the missionaries who have these problems, whether they returned home early or they didn't, that they're, you know, they're not alone, and that there are others who have gone through these experiences.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about kind of the leaders and what things can happen, you know, in the mission or not happen. But why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of either advice or things that worked in your situations for family and friends, you know, that want to be supportive or don't know exactly how to respond, or what are some suggestions that you would give to those who want to be helpful and not necessarily know how to?
Be generous. I think we need to be generous with people. And, you know, we have such a vibrant community, and that is a huge blessing to have so much emphasis on community, but it also comes with its fair share of problems. And we make these covenants that we will bear each other's burdens and mourn with those who mourn. And some people are so good at doing that. And those people who were able to just listen and to not judge and to just treat me like a regular person, there were plenty of those people. And that's what works. And that's the message that needs to come through. But then there are some people who think, instead of, you know, bearing those burdens or mourning with those who mourn, that it'd be better to, you know, spread rumors about their burdens or about why they're mourning, and to try to analyze them and put them in a box. And that's not helpful. So it's this message of just being there and listening and trying to understand, even though it may be really difficult for you to really understand. That's what we're called to do. That's the Christian thing to do. And when it's done, then things happen. Then there's so much energy in that, and good things happen, and, you know, Zion is built. That's how it's done.
Yeah, I think the biggest, I feel like how a missionary feels when they come home early, or they come home sick, or they have these problems, it depends so much on their family. If their family is supportive and just loving and there for them, everything else will be so much easier. You know, we've heard stories that range from, like, they came home and their parents were there happy for them with the banner, mission completed, all that stuff, and were super loving, to if you come home, there's not a bed for you. You know, there's such a spectrum of reactions from somebody's family, and it's a hard experience. It's something most families don't expect when their kid goes out on a mission. But if they can just be loving and just put love above everything else, then the rest of it kind of works itself out. It's not an easy process, but it seems like if they just have their families there, then everything will slowly come into place after.
Yeah, thank you for both that. I think those are really good thoughts. And I do think family support is super important. And if by chance you're in one of those situations where you don't, unfortunately, have, you know, family support, then it's really important to find other resources, right? Whether it's
definitely
support groups or a professional that can help, a therapist or friends, you know, other like-minded people that can help you through a really difficult time. Well, good. Is there anything else that you want to talk about as far as your overall goals with your website or where you'd like to have it go from here? It sounds like you've completed the survey and you're sharing some of the results with people who might be influential and having some changes that would be positive for everyone involved. What are your long-term strategy goals around this website?
I think it's kind of to help people, particularly missionaries, feel like they're not alone, and their families, but definitely also to help the church change and realize that they can and where to best act. And I think we've been surprised on both counts. A lot of people have come to us about how it's been, like, helpful for them. I know there's a stake in American Fork that a couple of the people who they sent us stories talked to their stake president about it, and now their stake has a, I don't know what they'd call it, a council of missionaries who have come home early. And it's their calling when a missionary in that stake comes home early to welcome them and to help them through it, to be there for them. So little changes like that in the culture and within the church. We just love to help move that along.
No, that's really wonderful. It's so nice to hear things like that.
Yeah, and there's a real hunger for that. With that particular stake, they've been doing firesides just on this issue, and they've done it more than once. I mean, they've done it, you know, three or four times, where they just invite anyone who is curious about this and wants to understand more about missionary health issues, or just people who weren't able to go or who had to come home early for whatever reason. Because honestly, this discussion goes far beyond just health issues. But they've been able to do firesides. That's something we'd like to see more of. And I think Drew kind of points out that these people went to their stake president. And I think that's something that the more we share and are comfortable sharing our experiences and talking to leadership, the more we're going to be able to have good experiences like firesides that just make the church a happier place to be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're absolutely correct in that we're really just talking about health issues, but there's many behavioral or what we'd consider quote-unquote sinful issues, right, that people get sent home for. And that also has a lot of mental health repercussions. I think I'll save that for another podcast. But it still needs to be something that's dealt with grace and love and all these things that you're mentioning, you know, that I think, unfortunately, one of the things in Mormonism that is a struggle is that we put too much emphasis on behavior when it comes to our worth. And that can be really detrimental, since most of us make behavioral mistakes in one way or another. And yet, you know, I think the real message of the gospel is about redemption from those things. So that's, I think, so pivotal to getting beyond some of these things that can be so... so shaming and so sad for people to know how to deal with. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time and coming on. Is there any closing thoughts or anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to mention before I send you both back to your studies and your busy lives, I'm sure?
I hope this doesn't sound like a plug, but we're always still accepting stories that we share on our Facebook page and site. So there's a link on the site if anybody wants to email us or just talk if anybody has questions or would like to know about our experience, or we could set them up with somebody who can help them out. Our email's there as well.
Yeah, definitely get in touch if this is something that you're having a hard time with. Let us know and we'll try to get the best resources we can. And Drew's right, we could always use more stories. We have quite a few on the site and we invite people to look at those. We've had some people say, oh, like this is negative or too positive. We've had people from both sides. And the thing with our site is we just share the stories that come to us, and we, you know, we edit for grammar and stuff like that, but we don't edit for tone really. I mean, we want people to try to just be authentic and honest with their experiences. And I think, you know, overall the site is just overwhelmingly positive, and it's people that have been there and are trying to let people know that it gets better, and that, you know, overall, like, just give the church this chance and be forgiving and try to stick around, because that can be difficult for people to stay active. And I think most of the stories we have are people that feel like staying active was a blessing for them.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, plug away. I'll definitely link to your website as well. And I think that's one of the things that attracted me to what you were saying. I think that you want any story, right? And for some people, there might be some really negative story. It might be really something very painful. There may be angry, you know, kind of like what you were talking about, Drew, just being in a place of anger or not knowing how to forgive when things have maybe truly been dealt with incorrectly, which happens. Even positive stories, right? That, I mean, there's people that get really great mental health or physical health services during their missions. And it's important to know about those as well, so that we can know how to make that more of a commonality, right?
Absolutely. Definitely.
And we've only had positive reinforcement from leaders, really. And I know someone high up in the missionary department who was told, you know, there are going to be some negative stories that are not, they're not happy. I mean, they're not intentionally negative, but that's just, they are what they are. And they were very okay with that. They you know, knew that that is something that happens and it's okay to talk about those things. So we've only had support. And I think, you know, the church is really invested in this issue and they're trying the best that they can. And like I said, it is kind of a new conversation, even though it's an old issue. And so we're trying to find out what's next and how we can make this better.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. And I wish you the very best. And I hope to be in contact further as we see kind of what happens from your efforts.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on Mormon Mental Health. To discuss this episode, please check us out at mormonmentalhealth.org. To keep the podcast alive, please consider a donation today, again, at mormonmentalhealth.org. Logo was provided by Daniel Singer. Music was generously donated by Lower Lights. Please check them out at thelowerlights.com. And thanks for listening.
Chart and compass came from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Unknown ways,
unknown ways
before me roll. Hiding rock. And treacherous shore, chart and compass came from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Maybe.
heat.